ends, Lord willing, next time. But today, I just, in light of some different things and kind of what God's doing on my heart, truth of the matter is I really shifted this week because of what our Thursday group was going through and our men's time together, and just really a tremendous session that we had on the idea of prayer and the discipline of prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I want to just walk you through a few things this morning. I think it'll be a real help to you. If you're willing and able, one more time, stand with us as we read, then we'll pray verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for all that are in authority. Verse 2. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Verse 3, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Verse 4, if you're still with me, read that what's on the board together. What's on the screen together. It's the board back there. Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Somebody says, why aren't you this particular stripe of whatever? It's because of verses like this. I believe the gospel is for everyone. I believe that God's will, six statements in particular in the New Testament, and this is one of them, God's will is that everybody be saved and that all men know who He is. They know the truth that we talked about in Psalm 119, the precepts and the statutes and the testimonies of God. Verse 5, for there's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. What's part of that truth? It's who God is. God's not everything. God's not everybody. God's not the cow and the bovine. He's not. He's not a little statue. I'm not being ugly. I'm not trying to be. But God has said who He is, and God said who He's not. There's none like Him. He is holy. He is unique. He is transcendent. Verse 6. What did Jesus do? He gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified of in due time. Verse 7, wherefore I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ, and lie not a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity, faith and truth. I will therefore, here was our verse, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I want to help us this morning with the urgency of prayer. Just today, for the urgency of prayer. Would you bow with me now, Father, from front to back and left to right, those who will watch this later. Those who came in completely empty. Those who came in overflowing. Those who have a good handle on their spiritual disciplines. Those like the rest of us seem way, way too unsteady in this area. Would you help us? Would this be more than a bracelet? Would this be more than a catchphrase? Would it be more than a clever T-shirt? And Lord, help us. Would it be more than just an emoji and a text message? Would you just remind us, help us, encourage us that it is urgent that we pray. It is urgent that we pray. Speak to every heart, I ask, in Your Son's precious name. And amen. You can be seated. Be seated. I wrote down a couple of things, but I love a little bit of feedback. Can you help me with a little bit of feedback today? Not much feedback, just a little bit. A little bit, some of you, a little bit of feedback. All right? All right. One session said yes, one session went, I don't care what you're selling, preacher, I ain't buying. And others of you just kind of ignored me. It's a small room, you can't do but so much. And so we're here. Let me see. They're waiting on me to see if it flips. There you go. Thank you. So let me just help you. What is something that's urgent? Thank y'all for hitting record and all back. What qualifies in your mind as urgent? It can be silly. It can be medical. It can be whatever. And I think it's different if you're a child, different if you're a teenager, different if you're in your 20s, and you're different if you're old and feel it like I do. What? Anything urgent? Anything urgent? Just throw it out there. Anybody? Nothing's urgent? I wrote down like 12 things. What's urgent? Yeah, that was the first thing I wrote, was the restroom. That can qualify as urgent. That can qualify as urgent. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. When you hear, it's time. It's time to go. I wrote down that. What else? Anybody else urgent? Yeah, the fact that we live in the most dangerous part of the world because of that dispatch over there. And all day long, ambulances and rescue squads and whatnot's going on. Yeah, something's urgent, right? Although we did find out Thursday that occasionally it's not urgent. It's just calling on your neighbors because you're not being nice. You call them because they're burning leaves. But anyway, I didn't know you could use, I suppose I did, that you could use the rescue services to be vindictive. But anyway, go figure. Yeah, that's urgent. What else? There's the urgency, particularly when someone's confronting the end of life. I have that written down, yes. And I didn't say because you feel it. You feel it. A 15-year-old, it may not get your trigger if you don't think they know Christ as much, right? But someone and the doctors have shaken their head and said they're sorry and walked out. Now, all of a sudden, you go, wow. And you feel the time burden of that, right? Yeah, absolutely. I had that so far. I'm not the same order, but we're three for three. Three for three. Anybody else? Something urgent? It's going to tell more about me. Yeah, just shout it out. The check engine light. I had auto repairs. Yeah, check engine light. Anybody besides me that bothers you? And the newer vehicles, I understand, they'll come on telling you got to get an oil change and stuff. I wouldn't do that. That would just bother me. And I reckon that's what it's supposed to do. But anyway, yeah, the check engine light or the auto light. We were going somewhere the other day. All of us were in the vehicle. A guy in a white van, a painter's van. His tire was blown. Everybody's blinking at him, telling him to pull over. He keeps going. We pass him. He shreds the tire, takes off his back fender, it looked like. And then before we knew it, there was a small fire. He didn't pull over. He just kept on going. I admire that kind of moxie. And I can also say it probably wasn't his van. And because if it was his van, he'd have pulled over. And anyway, I'm sure, hope he was okay. But anyway, anybody else urgent? Yeah. Nobody. I had that a lot before I had the auto. Yeah, the cell phone, right? You know, everybody's losing their mind. Yeah. All right. And JC's going, yeah. And all right. Anybody else? Yeah. By the way, it's funny how that is now, right? And that thing will die at the least opportune moment. Anybody like our family, you got plugs everywhere? All the rooms, you got long cords and all this kind of stuff? It looks like technological snakes, you know, live in your house, all right? Somebody else, who, Riley, did you have your hand up? Yeah. What else urgent? Yeah, depending on who it is, communication can be urgent, right? Phone call, I need to talk to you now. Have there ever been any fun? Is there any good thing ever come after that? We need to talk. Right? So, deadlines. I had work deadlines. I had those kind of things. I had that about number five there, yeah. It sounds urgent, right? The baby can be bored. Because they don't speak English yet, right? But they're just hollering. Close your books and grab a piece of paper. Yeah, some of you are feeling pretty good right now. Some of you are going, I didn't come to church to feel like this. I came to church to feel better. Urgency does thing. Anybody, something that's urgent? Nobody really said it. We said first responders, but sometimes there are. I got to take my medicine. I forgot to take my medicine. Anybody forgot to take your medicine hours after the fact? You're going, or you forgot to pick up your prescription? And yeah, it's like I'm going, oh yeah, I've done. Oh yeah, it's a big deal. Just tell more about me. Forget to pay a bill, and remember like the day after it was due. Anybody besides me? And all of a sudden you're moving heaven and earth to get that thing done. All right, just two of us. The rest of you, you can be. You can help us out. And what else is a? What else are? Again, nobody said it, but maybe I did. Maybe it's just me. Something you forgot, which is generic, but I know. And then all of a sudden, yeah. And you walk around. Anybody walked around with a post-it note that you hadn't read, and then you finally, oh man, And anybody ever made two trips somewhere because you forgot the urgent thing? Some of you going like that. And some of you going, it's not urgent. And again, all you secondborns, all you, Enneagram 6s and 7s, you know, you just figure everybody else will pick up the slack. But anyway, the rest of us, you know, it can be a little more urgent. I would suggest to you that we don't think about prayers being urgent. I just don't think so. I would almost argue that we would say it's important, but it's like doing a bunch of crunches and squats and exercise. That would be nice to do. And it would be good for other people to do. And it would be better if we cut out processed whatever. It would be better if we did that. But it isn't urgent. It isn't urgent. It isn't urgent. Back in the 80s and the 90s, and as people went and they had more heart procedures, and it went from being an unbelievable, dangerous surgery to having the heart procedure and being home the next afternoon because things changed so quickly and they did it so non-invasively. And you could find those people because you'd never seen them walking before, but now all of a sudden they're getting their mile or two in and they've got a stick. Where I grew up, it was mandatory. If you walked, you had a stick for dogs and stuff. And you do that and you see, because now this is what I have to do, and it went from being something nice to do to being an absolute necessity, and it went to being urgent. And so I suggest to you that prayer is and deserves to be urgent. James Roscup, for years and years, worked his way through the scriptures and basically came out with five, they're slim volumes, but they're meaty, packed volumes of every prayer in the scripture. And if you ever have a chance to get a copy, it's really good. Roscup is kind of, in modern times, is the definitive writer, in my opinion, on some of these ideas. And he suggests several things, and I've kind of put in my own words here, that about this subject of prayer, and then we'll get to the ending. But after all the Southern Baptist guys got nailed for ripping each other off, I think most of you know that I try and study a little bit. Anyway, Roscup really helped my thinking on a lot of things in this area of prayer. But he suggests, and at least the first couple straight from him, you need to pray, start off, because you are in a battle. You got your Bibles open there. I want you to kind of help me out. Excuse me. Pray because you are in a battle. You're in 1 Timothy, excuse me, chapter 2. Flip a page back to chapter 1, verse 18. This charge I commit to thee, my son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare. Pray because you are in a battle. You are in a battle. Anybody struggle to do what you ought to do? Anybody struggle to put in your body what you ought to put in your body? Anybody struggle to have the right attitude at times? Anybody struggle to walk with God? Anybody struggle to read your Bible? Anybody struggle to keep your eyes from seeing what you shouldn't see, or your mouth from saying what it shouldn't say? Anybody struggle with temptation and the flesh and the devil? Anybody figure out you're in a flat-out, all-on war? And you pray because you are in a battle. You're in a battle. You always chuckle. Always chuckle. New parents. And they're okay. And they're trying to put on that everything's okay. And the kid has lost their ever loving mind. And you're like, you're fine, just handle it. No. And they're being nice or whatever, and the kid's ripping earrings off and pulling hair and screaming and biting and all this. We don't do that. And I'm just waiting, going, some point the parent's going to figure out they're in a battle, and it's us or them. And I'm going to win. I want to be there when that day happens. I want to be there when it's a contest of wills and those kind of things like that. Anybody ever seen that besides me? And you figure, man, I'm straight up positively in a battle here. I'm in a battle, Ephesians chapter 2. I'm in a battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Ephesians 6:18, the Bible says, praying always with all prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. somewhere we adopted this idea that there was one spiritual weapon, and that was the Scriptures. Ephesians 6, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's an interesting little phrase there. Everybody still with me? It's an interesting little phrase. It's not the long sword. It's not the swashbuckling pirate sword. What is that called? Scabbard. It's not the long thing. It's not the King Arthur giant. It's the knife you got in your pockets. It's the knife you use all the time. It would have been, this was the one you're really good at. Take on the sword of the Spirit, the rhema. Take on the thing. By the way, it implies a learned word. It's a word you're good at. You don't throw the Bible at the devil. What did Jesus do when he was tempted by the devil? He didn't throw the Bible at him. He quoted the Bible to him. It's a Bible you're familiar with, the Bible you're learning, the Bible that's in you. But right behind it, he says, praying always with all prayer. John Bunyan, in his great book, Pilgrim's Progress, he called this the weapon of all prayer. I think you have two spiritual weapons that are offensive and defensive, by the way. I think you have this weapon here. Let me talk to everybody for a second who's spiritually defeated right now. I can almost guarantee you that you have a prayer deficiency. Again, by defeat, I don't mean you're in battle. You can feel under it and be just because you're weary of the battle. I'm not talking about that. But if you are spiritually weak and anemic, it is not God's fault. It is the fact that we have not utilized one of these saints, and we do not pray like we should. We get to have this wonderful privilege of praying with all prayer and taking it to God Himself. And we do this partly because, man, we know we're in a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual battle. Now, how do I know if I'm a spiritual battle? Because when you're being tempted, you no longer think a whole lot about it. It just goes right on through. I'll do that. I'll say that. I'll let that word go. Whatever that is. I was having an initial meeting with someone a while back, and I couldn't keep the guy's attention because the married guy. And I'm sitting there with him, and if you're racking your brain, I can't imagine anybody ever put it together. Anyway, except my wife, she knew who I was meeting with. But anyway, somebody, they're not connected to our church or anything, but I couldn't keep up with the guy because every waitress that walked by, man, he rubbernecked her. And I'm trying to figure out what's going on, what's that. But at the end of it, I just want to take my spoon and just jab the guy, amen? And in a matter of God, I was moving up to the salad fork, right? Man, what are you doing? What are you doing gawking at these women? What's wrong? And he just giving up. He just giving up on being tempted and reserving his eyes only for his wife. I don't know all that was going on. Maybe he's just having a bad day, but I can tell you he lost temptation that day. He was lost to it. Man, I get to pray. Let me help you. If you want to write something down, if you don't catch anything else, you need to learn to pray about the things that are defeating you. You need to learn to pray about the things that are defeating you. All our parents in here, you ever felt like a failure as a parent or grandparent or aunt or anybody besides me? Like you're failing? Best things anybody ever told me, and you need to pray about. You pray and ask God, God, I am insufficient here. God, I'm not doing a good job here. We hadn't been married real long. I figured out I wasn't the catch I thought I was. And man, we need to pray. I need to pray. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better father. I want to be a better pastor. And begin to pray about the things where you are absolutely, feel like you are struggling in. It is our weapon. And God, I'm tempted here. I'm tempted about this. I'm messed up in my priorities here. I get to live by your power. But I need to pray because I'm in a straight up battle. For years. I had Bible verses all around my computer monitor. Because, man, to me, that was just the gateway to temptation. For a while, we kept a big old family Bible. Anybody ever seen those things? They weigh about 4 tons. You know, you keep them out to show people you're spiritual. Anybody? Somebody gave us one of those, you know. It's like half the size of a watermelon. And, you know, for a while, man, we just put it in front of our TV. And we had one of those that had the giant caboose on the back end. Anybody remember those things before the flat screens, you know? And when you cut it off, it'd still glow. Some of you are going, what are you talking about? I got one of those now. And so you cut that thing off. We had the Bible there. We had the Bible there. And we'd start to watch something. We'd have to watch it over the Bible. So that sounds kind of hokey. It worked pretty well, you know, thinking through that. We pray, man, because we're in a battle. You'd think it was foolish, somebody in Iraq or Afghanistan. Bullets whizzing all over the place, IEDs beside of the road. You'd think it was foolish, as many casualties as you've seen, for you to stroll around in a striped shirt and a pair of Bermuda shorts and flip-flops going, boy, it sure is nice out here. I'm glad it's a dry heat. You think you were just as goofy as you could be. You stroll through life and you figure out, man, I'm okay and I'm not a target of the devil. No, you pray because because other people are in a battle. Other people are in a battle. Paul is praying for the people there that Timothy is serving. He is praying for Timothy and for Titus. He is praying for others. Pray, first of all, supplication, giving prayers of thanks be made for all men. They are in a battle too. Let's just take a real thing. You help me out with being urgent. Anybody here ever been disappointed in somebody? The decisions they made? I mean, disappointed. Anybody? Nobody? I have. I've been disappointed. Anybody been disappointed by the person in the mirror? You get done and you go, what did I do? Why did I do that? You ever made a really good speech and you felt immediately bad about it? Anybody here good at doing that? Just me. Y'all need to find a better preacher. Man, they're in a battle. I told one of our groups the other day. I think one of the things I've struggled with the most in probably the last several years is instead of being really upset when people do what I know they know to do better. They know the right path to take. They know they shouldn't do that. They know better. Instead of just being mad with them like they're a child and I need to scold them. You go, man, they're losing the battle. They're losing the battle. I need to take them to God. I need to pray for them. They've made some deal somewhere, and they've slid down. And now all of a sudden, man, God, would you help them? Would you be with them? And to pray for them and to go to God on their behalf. Let me illustrate a little bit. If this side over here was under fire, and some of you are going, but it's okay to shoot at Phoenix. No, it's not. And if this side over here was under fire, if there was mortars coming in, if there was bombers dropping things, if there was napalm over here and tripwires over there and landmines over there, if there was all that stuff going on and they were and bleeding and bruised and scared, we wouldn't go, well, look at those sad, sorry people. Look at the decisions they made. How we done lost three fingers. Well, that's just sad. We be going, man, we got to help them. We got to extricate them. Hey, listen, here's the way out. Here's the way out. How can we help you? What can we do for you? What do we do? But what do? We go, oh, we're mad at them. I believe there's righteousness, and I think that's the difference. God, I hate what they have allowed Satan to do in their lives. I think that's the dividing line between compromise and compassion. I really do. God, I hate what's going on in their life. But Lord, you want to change them. God, you want to fix that marriage. God, you want to help them with their parenting. You want to help them make better decisions. You want to help them in these areas. God, they need to clean their mouth out. They need to quit cursing you and all these guys. God, I know you can help them. Lord, I'm going to take them to you. Because I got news for you. Somebody did that for you and I, didn't they? when we were in all that in a bag of chips, somebody prayed for us. Somebody importuned God for us. We pray because other people are in a battle. That helps us with our compassion, doesn't it? Let me ask you, what have you prayed about this week, last week, that you struggle with? Just pride keeps us from praying, isn't it? Let me rephrase. Just pride keeps me from praying. What have you prayed about this week? Who have you prayed about that are in a straight-up battle? We can get a bad diagnosis. We can get something going on. And the legions of heaven, the armies of heaven, we seem like people will do that. But sometimes when we just need to pray for people because they are struggling, then we need to pray. We need to pray because people need Jesus. People need Jesus. If you believe that, would you say amen? Verse 4, read it, underline it, highlight it. Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? Fellows were out here working yesterday and clearing some of the brush. The guys working inside. Folks were here yesterday afternoon decorating, putting up some more things and getting everything. It looks so nice and all. And I sat outside for a minute or two and just enjoyed the cool breeze at the moment and had a cup of water. And I sat and man, just watching. There was a motorcycle parade kind of thing went by, and it looked like they maybe been at one of the local July 4th parades. And they went by, and then some old cars went by, and then the other, and then two or three rescue ambulances went by, and rescue squads. And I'm sitting there, and I was reminded again what the county commissioner told me. When school's in session, 20,000-plus cars a day go up and down this road. And then they turn on the level and go toward go that direction where your dad's out. Man, it's unbelievable. All these people, man, they need the Lord. They need the Lord. You go to family reunions and you get that snapshot of the years. You go, well, they made some bad decisions. They made some great decisions. And they need the Lord. Somebody pulls you aside and goes, man, pray for my. Why? Because they need the Lord. They need the Lord. They need good education, absolutely. They need great health care. I'm with you. We need good leaders, yes. He says, pray for these that are in authority, absolutely. But man, we pray because people need the Lord. Romans 10, verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So what can I do for America? You can vote. You can vote intelligently. You can vote for people that align with biblical principle. You can pray for America. You can pray not that we get back to, but we pray that we get to the Scriptures, that we get to the Bible, and that we do things that honor God, not are politically expedient. How many times we voted for people thinking they're going to save us, and man, it didn't not only save us, but things got worse. Things got worse. Man, I like it. And by the way, I believe in folks figure out some of this stuff. Man, they do vote but differently, and they try and vote for life and all those kind of things here. I mean, what people need is they need to be saved. They need to be saved. I was challenged by a missionary some years ago, or evangelist some years ago. He said the East Coast has had what we would call a great revival, called the Great Awakening. There was a second one that kind of reached a little bit toward the Midwest. But we've never seen that. Never seen that west of the Rockies, California, Seattle, all those places. Have never seen a giant move of God in the States like it was. It was transformative. He said, and I believe that God wants to send that great awakening even still there. There are whole countries that have never seen what the States have seen. And here he said, I'm praying for Israel. Would you pray that way? Pray for revival of evangelism. We get mad at people because they don't do. We get mad at people because they post dumb stuff. We stay upset with people instead of going, man, lost people act like lost people. Nod your head if you follow me here. Lost people act like lost people. That's all they can do. That's all they know. Would you do that? Pray. Romans 10, 1, 1 Timothy 2, 4, who have all men to be saved come to the knowledge of the truth. All men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. When we pray, God blesses it. You're in chapter 2. Look at verse 2. For kings, all that are in authority with me, lead a quiet, peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. God says this is a good thing. God says it's a good thing. God says, verse 4, this is it's a blessed thing. He says it's a this is the thing that he wants to happen. Excuse me. In his life, it is good and acceptable in his sight. He died to ransom people. So my question to us today, is it urgent to pray? Then we ought to pray. We ought to pray. Thursday, one of the men said, we don't need to pray as transition shuffle musicians on and off the stage. We don't need to pray just so the pastor can get to the lobby. We don't need to pray just because of that. Help me. We will absolutely get a child to the restroom. Most of the time we'll get ourselves to the restroom. We'll panic when we don't pay a bill on time. We will make it to the drugstore. Or we'll find a drugstore that's open later hours so we can be a little more forgetful. We will find a charger. We'll put an extra plug in the car. We'll keep the cell phone powerful. We will do what we think is urgent. I would encourage you in your disciplines of your life. You say, Pastor, you've convinced me. I'm good. I need to pray because I'm in a battle. I need to pray because others are. I need to pray because people need to hear the truth. They need to be converted. We need to share with them, tell them, encourage them, invite them to Bible study, all kinds of things. And again, I don't know how many of us are really responsive to somebody, you know, being nose to nose with us anyway. There are lots and lots of ways we can share the truth. Again, not just positive example, but the truth. And we want to do that. And all those things work together. And I think you start talking to God. God, thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that you love me. I think probably 20, 25, I think that's most every time my personal prayer, I start that way. Because that's the connection point. Someone has suggested that's the A, that's a door. And I need to adore him. I move pretty quickly there to confess. See. Anybody in here ever have anything to confess to God? Anybody, your list is a little longer than you care to admit? God, I'm sorry for this. Sorry for that. Lord, I did this. By the way, a lot of times, man, I get done praying, I go start making apologies. I confess. That's A, that's C. There's T, that's thankfulness. God, thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for the other. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for... By this point, my heart's pretty good shape. Then S... It's the old word, supplicator, the list. Lord, I pray for Brother Glassby. Pray for him at work today. He's been working with a couple of guys. Lord, one of them follows Islam. Lord, he's got another new fellow he's been talking to. God, he's been witnessing to these guys. Lord, help him. He had a gospel conversation with somebody last week. And Lord, I pray you to help him. And I start working through our list here. Lord, pray for them. Some of you told me family members to pray for me. I try and be good about that. I'm not always as good as I'm not anywhere near good as I need to be, want to be. But then I start talking about that. And then, by the way, if I'll do that, by the time I get done, man, I can pray for my needs. By the way, when I get to my needs after praying for everybody else's, my needs don't look so big. What we normally do is, God, I need this and this and this. And God's 1 hour Amazon. Turn him into Santa Claus. I don't think that's the way to do it. God, you're great. You're awesome. Thank you. Confession. A-C-T-S. And then my list. If prayer is urgent, let's pray. If prayer is urgent, we're in a battle, they're in a battle, and people need Jesus. Let's pray for one another. Would you do that right now? Our heads are bowed just for a moment. Thank you. You listen well. I don't mean to I don't mean to anything other than I think this has got to be that kind of place in our lives. And I believe it. We want it to be, and we need it to be. So, Lord, would you help us? Father, thank you. Lord, there are many in this room and many who watch who you have grown their prayer lives tremendously in these past years. That's their testimony. Lord, some have jobs where it's easy to think through and ruminate over a list all day. Others, due to the frenetic pace, have to be particular in their scheduling. So help us. We wouldn't miss important medicine. We would find a way to do the other and move it, Lord, from this would be a nice thing to this is an important thing. This is an urgent thing. Would you move it in our lives? And oh God, would you help us in particular? Help us quit being so angry at people. Help us be angry at sin. Help us quit being so angry that somebody on cable television told us to be. Help us to realize that you desire all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Help us to see more and more people as opportunities and not the enemy. I think you'll do that as we pray and talk to you about them and for them and on their behalf. So Lord, would you do that work in our lives? Father, do that now, even we ask. Our heads are bowed just for a moment. Different kind of message, again, not real sure, just wasn't all for me. But you say, Pastor, this morning, God's put some areas in my life that He's encouraging me about, He's challenging me about. And I'm asking you to pray with me. Some situations or some areas, and God spoke to me. Would you pray for me in these areas, God? I want to do a better job praying about these things and giving them to Him and asking for His help. Would you pray with me about that? Would you slip your hand up with mine? You can put them right back down. Nobody's looking around, I promise. See, preacher, there's some people. There's maybe several people that I need to pray for. Maybe I've been praying for, but I need to earnestly pray for them. And because I don't think they know you. I don't think they've ever confessed you as Lord and Savior. And so God, help us. God, would you help me here in this area? Would you say, Lord, would you say, preacher, I'm talking to the Lord on their behalf. Would you just slip your hand up with mine? There's some of those people like that. Thank you. And finally, you say, Pastor, I want to pray like it's urgent before it gets urgent. Before everything's a mess and before everything's out of sorts and in desperation, I pray. That's not a bad time to pray, but it sure is better to pray now while things are fairly calm. Say, Pastor, that's me. I want to talk to God every day. I want to walk with God. I want to do that. God, would you? You say, Pastor, I'm talking to God, asking Him to help me right now in this area. Would you just slip your hand up one more time? Thank you. You can put them right back down. Here's what I want us to do. The music's going to play. I'm not going to have invitation per so. Excuse me. Oh, I can't talk right now. But if God's dealing with your heart, then let's start it right now. Let's get a head start. Let's pray right now. Let's pray where you are. Let's pray for that lost friend or that lost coworker. Let's pray for Let's pray for that family member who's away from God. Let's pray for that area where you're really struggling in. And temptation comes and you just jump right on it. Let's pray about how, man, you just lost your temper and blew somebody out and you never went back and fixed it. Let's pray about the temptations that are going way past temptation. They're just becoming reality. God, I'm losing the battle in this area. God, I'm losing the battle in this situation. And sometimes I forget. God, help me to fight. Help me to go forward. Oh, Lord, help me, I pray. ACTS, adore, confess, thank, and then your list, the supplicate. Lord, help me. Help us to pray. Father, thank you. Your will is that all men everywhere come to the knowledge of the truth, and all men be saved. May that be our will. May that be our great desire. Help us. Help us to love you all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We pray in your Son's precious name. And amen. Amen. You glad to be in God's house this morning? Say amen. Amen. Boy, maybe that it's a little bit of conviction or maybe a whole lot and a whole lot of, yeah, this is what I need to do. What I need to do. I need to do that. I need to do this more. And so I want to encourage you to do that. Don't pill your head tonight before you've walked some of that road. And if you want more help, we can certainly do that and do our best to help and assist you. Let me just say a couple of quick things, and we're gonna go toward the back, right? So, again, thank you to everybody. And again, we're trying to do a little bit of remodeling, refurbishing, and it looks so good. We do have some more left. We need to put another coat out there on the brick, and it doesn't have to be pretty. Just got it sealant. We just need to get a little more sealant on there. We've got all the supplies. Just need to. Want to kind of do that in lots of things. Some asked what happened. Again, we said it the other day, what happened to gazebo? And then some of you went, what gazebo? it just was not able to be saved. I know it was a project a family used to attend and all. Nothing to do. We do have, in honor of the original swing set from the Ting family, we did save that plaque. We are going to install that and try and see if we can get the Boy Scout who did that as his project maybe to come and just kind of commemorate that. And we are thankful. But any of these things we're doing, I know some of it has connections to other people. There's nothing being done. It just refurbishing. That's all we're doing. Not trying to do any of that stuff. I don't think many of you think that way, but I always want to encourage you about that. Wednesdays, 6:30, we're online. It's live. And then 7 o'clock, we're having just great time in the summer. Snack, a little bit of food, having some fellowship, sometimes some fun, and then having the word and trying to be out just a little bit after 8. So thank you for that. There is a little more to do in the lobby and then a few things. You say, I've got a few hours. I wouldn't mind helping or whatever. We can use you, and we want to continue to do that. Campus coming up. We are going to try and have one fundraiser between now and then, so stay tuned for that. And if you have a young person, those age groups, it is full and running over. There is a waiting list, but see us if you have interest in that or know somebody. And it's going to be, I think it's going to be a 1,000 camper week where we're headed. So it's going to be a big time, and I'm glad I just got to get to service. Actually, I got to get to dinner and get to service. That's all I got to do. Some of that. So anyway, we're glad for that. So thank you. Thank you again. Let me see. I don't want to miss anybody. Thank you. Mike and David and Brandon, Andrea and Allison, who worked so hard yesterday. Of course, Keith and has been out here a few times, helping with extra times with the paint, then all the crew from the other day. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all of that. And we are so appreciative. Some others of you are doing as well. And thank you for that. Dr. Bobby's here through the week and doing things around. And we're all of you that make everything go who never are on a stage, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. So as you see things, enjoy them. We're going to be dismissed as you head out. Just the last door on your right, and we're excited about that. Stay, hang out. The cornhole's out there. Those of you that are grilling, you can help us with that. And then if you don't have to leave, man, please stay, fellowship a while, and we'll enjoy each other's company. Stand with us if you would. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Again, a thank you to everyone who's here, everyone who came. We are so thankful. And Lord, help us to pray. Help us to be urgent. Urgent in our praying, urgent in our praying. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Brother Glass, be dismissed, please.
First cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny.